battle it by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour on this Friday, December 27th, 2024 edition, Your Defending Fathers, with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. History lesson today with Pastor Chatfield. Abraham Lincoln delivered his Gettysburg Address on November 19th, 1863, during the dedication of the Soldiers National Cemetery in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Pastor Chatfield. So,
good morning.
Was that an accurate description of
It was. It was a few months after the Battle of Gettysburg, July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in 1863, generally regarded by just about everybody, the turning point of the Civil War. Out west, the Battle of Vicksburg, July 1st, when Grant took Vicksburg and gave the Union control of the Mississippi River and hence divided the Confederacy. And then the same day, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, there in
July.
The east. Yeah. So Gettysburg, Vicksburg fought almost the same time. And it is the turning point of the war, no question about it. Robert E. Lee had ventured north twice. This is the second time he ventured north, hoping to draw the Union armies away from Washington, D.C., swing around them, possibly even capture or threaten or at least maybe even capture Washington, D.C. It was a huge battle. They stumbled upon each other in a village or town, Gettysburg, best known because it was a seminary there, Lutheran seminary there. And there was rumors that the Confederacy heard that there was a shoe factory there. They could get some shoes because so many of their men didn't have any shoes. And they kind of stumbled upon each other. And you've heard me talk about the Battle of Gettysburg. The final day, Pickett's charge, the high point of the Confederacy. It was a decisive Union victory. Robert E. Lee, it was his only really big mistake in the war. Should never cross that field. Should never have happened. But that's somewhat of a different story. So months later, they want to dedicate. There were so many people died. 150,000 men engaged. Over 50,000 died, and more died of their wounds and disease caught later. It's the largest battle ever in the Western Hemisphere of Earth, in a decisive battle. Second day, you heard me talk about the Battle of Little Round Top, Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain, 20th Maine, defeating that regiment of soldiers from Alabama. I've gone up there. I've been to Gettysburg six times, I'm not sure. Just, it's almost like, careful now, I worship the Lord, but it's almost like going to church.
Sure.
You know what I mean by that? It is just a moving thing. It's a moving experience for me, anyway.
Right. Well, let me ask you this question. Do you think that's something people should put on their bucket list?
If you're ever going to see anything historical, yes, if you care.
More so than perhaps a trip to Washington, D.C.?
Good question. Yeah, I don't know. That's a matter of opinion. I would say so.
Really?
I would say so. But you should go to Washington. You should. And
Washington and Gettysburg would be the top two.
Right. And Gettysburg is on the way to Washington, really. Just a little out of the way.
I'm looking at the map right now, right off of basically 81, kind of southwest of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And that's, like you say, there's Baltimore. There's Washington, D.C. So from our northern Michigan, Gettysburg's right on the way before you get into Washington, D.C.
Right. And they have these tours that you can, they'll tour you, and you'd like it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I think you just may have made a trip for me and Miss Vicky for perhaps our summer vacation.
Amen.
Yeah. Going to take a short break. Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. We'll be right back. If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmith in Impetoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmith in Impetoskey.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sioux St. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of our history lesson discussion today with Pastor Chatfield. 47 years ago.
Okay, let me just introduce this by saying this is probably the most famous speech in American history. One of the most famous speeches in the history of the world. It is generally regarded by people who are literate. They're men of letters and literature, as the most beautiful pieces of anything ever written in the English language. Mm. I mean, this is like, now when we read the Bible, because the Bible is the Word of God, this is not the Word of God. I know that, but
right,
it's beautifully written. It's like the 23rd Psalm, King James Version, is just beautifully. I mean, this is poetry without rhyme. This is just, it's so well written, and it is, should be revered. And it is by me. It is by me.
Well, let me ask you this question. Do you, in all of the studying and the history that you've done regarding the Civil War and Abraham Lincoln, do you feel that he wrote this himself with God's divine providence? Do you think somebody else helped him with it? Do you know anything about that, the actual speech itself?
Yes. Yes, I do. No, he wrote it himself. He brilliant. Did. Lincoln was brilliant. He was nigh a genius, if not a genius. He was a man of letters. I mean, he read. And no, he didn't have a speechwriter. It was, I mean, he was brilliant. And yeah, he wrote it himself. Now, let me just say this. There are five different versions of this thing. Mm. And some a little bit different. I mean, different newspapers put it a little bit differently. And there's some things, say, well, he wrote it on the back of an envelope. Well, probably not. Oh, he wrote it on the train on the way. Well, maybe, but I don't think so. The version I'm reading for you is called the Bliss version. It's the last one. A friend of his asked, would you give me exactly what you wrote? And he wrote it. This is the version I'm going to read to you. Is the only version that he signed his name to it. And there's a couple of versions out there that skip this phrase, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom. And but the one that he wrote after he gave the speech, I think there's five different versions. This is the one generally accepted by historians. Now, by the way, when you go to Gettysburg, I want to know exactly where did he give this. And historians are now not, we can put it within 150 feet exactly where the, but there was a, you know, temporary stands built, and it was before all the monuments were there. And so we're not exactly sure the exact spot where he gave the speech. Mm. But
no photographs that could cross-reference
that. There was one photograph. It's interesting. The guy was preparing. You know, back in those days, to take a photograph, it, you really had to kind of get things. It took a minute.
Sure.
And he presumed, the photographer thought that he'd have plenty of time. But the speech is only 271 words, 2 minutes. And by the time he had everything ready, Lincoln was on his way to sit down. So the only shot he got was Lincoln walking away, preparing to sit down. So we have no photograph of him standing there.
Whoa.
Ready to give the speech. And some of the newspaper accounts were saying, this is flat. This is silly. This is, what an embarrassment. Mm. Somebody from I think it was Chicago Times said that. I mean, it wasn't totally, completely, immediately well received. And Lincoln wasn't the main orator. They invited a man who was president of Harvard College, Edward Everett, who gave a 2-hour speech and describing the battle and this, that, and the other. And it was one of the best known and loved orators in America. Back in those days, oratory was a thing. I mean, it was, I mean, you'd raise your voice, lower your voice, and that is, it was a big deal.
Sure.
Giving a speech, that was kind of like, it was like entertainment. And,
oh, yeah.
It was a big deal. Reminds me of William Jennings Bryan, who is a great orator. If a person gave a speech today the way William Jennings Bryan would give speech, or Edward Everett, people would say, this is corny. People won't talk like that. But in Edward Everett's defense or justification or credit, he said, after everything was over, Edward Everett said to Lincoln, I should be glad if I could flatter myself that I came as near to the central idea of the occasion in 2 hours as you did in 2 minutes.
In 2 minutes.
Yeah.
maybe Lincoln, did Everett go first, if you know?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, see, Abraham Lincoln's like, okay, this guy ate up all the oxygen. I'm going to deliver this in 2 minutes. I'm going to go sit down.
There's an old saying about speeches.
Yes.
An old saying, and that is, you want me to give a 2 minute speech. You'll have to give me 3 weeks. You want me to give a 10 minute speech. You got to give me 3 days. You want me to give you a 45 minute speech. I can do it right now. In other words, to choose the words,
yes,
in such a beautiful and concise way, that really takes...
That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work. A
lot of revision.
Yep. Anybody can ramble on. Hey,
well, you've easily got 2 minutes in this segment for 271 words. Let's hear it.
Right. Okay. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But, in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note, nor long remember, what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. There you go. 271 words.
That's it.
I often start looking away from the text because I'm just quoting it. I hope I quoted it exactly right. I'm contemplating taking this and the Declaration of Independence and so on and so forth and doing what some of you our radio listeners have told me to create a YouTube channel and just quoting all these things. These things shouldn't be forgotten. And I've memorized this and said this many times.
Sure.
First of all, the language in this is biblical. I mean, this rings.
From what perspective? What do you...
The wording, the flow. The first few words, 47 years ago. A score is 20 years.
That's 87 years.
Yes, 87 years. He could have said 87 years ago.
Sure.
This reminds me of Psalm 90. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. I mean, that's the way the Bible would talk about score.
Yeah.
And know this for sure. Lincoln had read through the Bible many, many times. Many, many of his speeches have that ring of, you could tell this person's read the Bible.
Oh, the phraseology.
Yes, and you've got to read the Bible and know it to even hear it in a speech. And he goes back to the Declaration of Independence. He says, the 87 years doesn't go back to the Constitution. It goes back to the Declaration.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, I have never had a feeling politically that did not spring from the sentiments embodied in the Declaration of Independence. Everything he believed was encapsulated in the Declaration of Independence. Not the Constitution, the Declaration. Everybody should know this, and you've heard us talk about this. The Constitution was built on the Declaration. And the very core of the speech of the Gettysburg Address is dedicated to this idea, this proposition, that all men are created equal. Our Declaration says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Hey, Pastor Chaffee, what's the purpose of government? To secure God-given rights. See, the Declaration of Independence is our creed. It's what we believe. It's the idea of our country. And that's what Lincoln said in the Gettysburg Address. It's dedicated to this proposition that all men are created equal. Now, if we don't believe that they're created, if we don't equal, if we don't believe that, we don't believe much. Now, let me sum up this in this first large segment. Here's what he said about the Declaration of Independence in 1858 when he was running against Frederick Douglass for Senate in Illinois. He said, quote, "Now, my countrymen," Lincoln said this, "now, my countrymen, if you have been taught doctrines conflicting with the great landmarks of the Declaration of Independence, if you have listened to these suggestions which would take away from this its grandeur and mutilate the fair symmetry of its proportions, if you have been inclined to believe that all men are not created equal in those inalienable rights enumerated by our Chart of Liberty, let me entreat you to come back, return to the fountain whose waters spring close by the blood of the Revolution. Think nothing of me, take no thought for the political fate of any man whomsoever, but come back to the truths that are in the Declaration of Independence. You may do anything with me you choose, if you will but heed these sacred principles. You may not defeat me or the Senate, but you may take me and put me to death. While pretending no indifference to earthly honors, I do claim to be actuated in this contest by something higher than an anxiety for office. I charge you to drop every paltry and insignificant thought for any man's success. It is nothing. I am nothing. Judge Douglas is nothing. But do not destroy that immortal emblem of humanity, the Declaration of American Independence. He believed, and I believe, it's the foundation of all government. It is the Christian view of government is found in the Declaration. And the Gettysburg Address is based on the Declaration. Hey, we established a country with an idea that all men are created equal. And there was a while that some people didn't think that all men were created equal. Now some people don't believe that all men are created. It's a big deal. We are created by God equally. We are equal in the sight of God. God is no respecter of persons. That's a Bible idea. That's a Christian idea. I mean, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I mean, that's the central foundation. The gospel goes to all because we're all created in the image of God. We're all sinners, yes, but God loves all of us. We're all equal, born equal. We're created equal. That's such a foundational truth. Our whole government, our nation is built on that concept. And that's why he starts it off, you know, based on this proposition that all men are created equal.
Absolutely.
It's a big deal. A big deal. Is.
Well, one of the other components to this, not only the Declaration of Independence and him studying it and knowing the verbiage and knowing the history of that leading to our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and then him being tasked with dealing with slavery and the Civil War, this address, this 271 words, absolutely just memorialized, like you said, probably one of the best speeches in American history. So I got a couple of text messages for you on the other side. Bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source. You're a